form of knowledge known to man is to know the mind of God. That's the highest form of knowledge. Let me ask you a question. What would you rather have than that? What relationship in life do you prefer over an intimate relationship with God? That this God who created it all is willing to move into your life in a fashion that you have never experienced Him before. Now here's the thing I want you to remember. God doesn't build intimacy with people who are worried about what other folks think about their devotion to Christ. He doesn't build relationships with people who compromise with sin. He builds relationships with people, intimate relationships with people, who are willing to step down. And say, it doesn't make any difference what the world thinks. What really matters is my relationship to Him. And let me say this about it. I believe that God must put the hunger in the heart of a person in order to do that. I don't believe it's something we just grab and put together. I believe God must put it there. But listen, God wants that hunger to prevail in your heart above every other desire. A warm, intimate relationship with Him. And you see, if I'm going to build an intimate relationship with God, I've got to keep checking to be sure that my schedule and His are the same. And I find in my own heart, when my relationship with Him is not as intimate as it ought to be, I have to look for the reasons. And sometimes it's something that I'm doing that's not on His schedule. I must be available, I must be open, and I must have a deep hunger. Now listen to me carefully. Jesus had the most perfect relation, the most intimate, perfect relationship with His Father. That's why His life was so tranquil, even though it was so stormy. It was tranquil on the inside. Intimacy not only gives us insight to who He's like that we never discover otherwise, but it has a quieting effect in quietness and in confidence is my strength, a quieting effect upon the person who's building that relationship. Are you satisfied with just knowing God on the level that you know Him? Now, He knows you perfectly, but are you satisfied knowing Him on the level that you know Him? Listen, you may be one of those persons who has great, you're just a reservoir of all kinds of spiritual information. But the question is, do you walk on a level with Him that is intimate, personal, private, warm, fulfilling, and contenting? In other words, listen, is Jesus somebody that you can just sort of hide away with, just the two of you, and you be comfortable? I meet a lot of folks who are not even comfortable being by themselves. And listen, when you're with Him, you're not alone. I just want to ask you one more time. How much time do you spend in a given week just being with Him? And that will tell you how deep your desire is to build that intimacy. Here's what happens. When we learn to build an intimacy with Him, it's easier to build it with other people. And not only that, but God will begin to flow through your life. He will begin to do through your life what, listen, what He will never do until He, just Him, just not what He has to give. Just, you see, listen, if you build a relationship with somebody to get something, it won't work. You're not trying to build a relationship. You're not trying to build intimacy. Intimacy must be based on the fact that I want a relationship with this person for who they are, not for what I'm going to get out of it. I want to build an intimate relationship with Him just because He's God. Whatever you're hungry for, that exceeds your hunger to know Him on the deepest level possible and to experience the deepest expressions of His love and the deepest expressions of the awareness of the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you, He makes Himself real and intimate and warm and loving to anybody who will just take the time and tell Him, God, I just want to build an intimate relationship with You. Abraham was a man who is known as the friend of God. And God built with him a beautiful, intimate relationship. And he's still blessing us. Listen, I don't know of a greater gift that you could give your children than the example of a walk of a father or a mother who walks in intimacy with God the Father.
Thanks for listening to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. Any Christian can have a close relationship with God. That's what he wants and has provided for. Take the time and effort to cultivate your friendship with the Savior. To listen again, click on Today on Radio at intouch.org. And that's where you'll find many free resources to help you study God's Word. If you open our online bookstore, you can order a copy of today's complete message, Favorites versus Intimates. Again, that's intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. If you prefer to write, our address is In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. Many people have chosen a lifestyle of impurity based on a trend because right now everybody's doing it. But God's code of conduct never changes. Today's Moment with Charles Stanley is just ahead.
Are you living a life of preferences or one that's based on God's Word? To enjoy a strong life, one that makes an eternal impact, we have to break free from the factors that make us weak. In Dr. Charles Stanley's book, Standing Strong, believers will find encouragement to construct a life based on the strength of enduring faith built on uncompromised biblical convictions. To order your copy of Standing Strong, call 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org.
In Touch Plus is streaming on Local Now, featuring all the best of Dr. Charles Stanley.
We're to have strong convictions based on the Word of God. He's working out things that you and I would never know about in our future.
In Touch Plus, your streaming network for quality Christian programming 24/7.
Now watch this.
In Touch Plus, streaming free on Local Now.
You're listening to In Touch. It's popular to believe that morality is a personal choice, but God is very clear about purity. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
When you read, for example, 1 Thessalonians, the Bible is very clear about relationships, immoral relationships, and sometimes a person says, well, you know, I read that, but I don't quite believe that. I'm not sure I understand that. Well, listen to this passage. This is the will of God. Now, you understand that. Your sanctification, you say, what's that? That means being set apart by God for him. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, period. What else do you need as an explanation when God says abstain from it? That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles, that is, lost people do, who do not know God. Then listen to what he says. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Now watch this carefully. It's real simple. He or she who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. If you really and truly want to know the truth, it's in here.
Salvation not only provides a future home in heaven, it also offers the capacity to meet God's code of conduct now. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, trust in him today as your Savior from the penalty and power of sin. Learn more at intouch.org. Next week on In Touch, do you feel like you repeatedly struggle with the same temptations? Hear about the underlying cause for that problem and the remedy when you join us Monday for In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stonestreet. 700 years ago, Italian scholar Marsilius of Padua helped lay the foundation for our modern ideas of popular sovereignty. In his book, Defensor Pacis, written in the context of an ongoing battle in church-state relations, he anticipated the idea of separate spheres for church and state. Though tensions over the balance of power between church and state were probably inevitable eventually, it took surprisingly long for them to develop. In the Roman Empire, the state regulated religious practice. Christianity was an illegal religion in the empire for nearly 300 years. But when it was legalized, a precedent was set for the church to operate separately from the state, and for centuries, the two sides cooperated without much fundamental conflict. In 799, Pope Leo III was accused of a variety of crimes, so he appealed to Charlemagne, king of the Franks, for judgment. Though unsure whether he had jurisdiction over the Pope, Charlemagne acquitted Leo. Since this suggested that Charlemagne was in fact over the Pope, Leo decided to redress the balance by then crowning Charlemagne emperor on Christmas of 800, which implied papal authority over that office. After Charlemagne, both the church and the state suffered serious decline for nearly a century. The title of emperor fell into disuse, and the papacy descended into a period of serious moral degeneracy. In the late 900s, with the aid of church reformers, the Germanic king, Otto I, managed to centralize enough power to be named Holy Roman Emperor. He and his successors deposed a series of corrupt popes and appointed reformers in their place. These reforming popes soon found their dependence on the emperor both theologically and politically problematic. Theologically, they began to argue that as the eternal is superior to the temporal and the spiritual to the physical, so the church is superior to the state and the pope to the emperor. In effect, this meant that the church was over the state. Early conflict was over who should name and install the bishops. Since Otto I, bishops had been a part of the imperial government. Emperors had insisted on their right to pick the bishops. The popes argued that bishops are primarily ecclesiastical offices and should therefore be appointed and installed by them. This issue finally came to a head when Pope Gregory VII excommunicated Emperor Henry IV and tried to depose him, while Henry also tried to depose Gregory and even invaded Italy in the process to somehow make it stick. The issue was eventually resolved by their successors, but the basic question of whether the Pope was over the Emperor or the Emperor was over the Pope, that just continued to fester, sometimes resulting in war or excommunication and the appointment of anti-popes in the context of all these conflicts. Marsilius of Padua wrote his book. He took the imperial side. He argued that the church had no jurisdiction in secular matters. It should interpret scripture and define dogma. Secular affairs were the responsibility of the civil government, whose members were to be elected and appointed by the most important citizens. In the same way, he believed that clergy, including the Pope, should also be elected by the people or their representatives. Even within the church, papal authority was limited, since supreme authority was vested in church councils that were called by the emperor. Marsilius also argued that tithes should be eliminated, that church property should be seized by the government, and that clergy should live in holy poverty. His work was supported by prominent Franciscans, most notably William of Ockham, who championed the ideal of apostolic poverty and was later promoted by Thomas Cromwell to support Henry VIII during the English Reformation. Defensor Apaches was an important step in advancing ideas of popular sovereignty and democracy, even though it implicitly supported imperial authority. And despite its blatant anti-clericalism, it made important contributions to ideas about the proper relationship between church and state. Given our current debates about Christendom and Christian nationalism, studying historical works like this one could enrich our understanding of the place of the church in civil society. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Dr. Glenn Sunshine. For more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.